You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Overcoming Shortage Mentality by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
In verse 19, Paul is encouraging his partners of the Church of Philippi who had consistently, he said, once and again given to his necessities, to his ministry, to make sure both his personal needs and needs of his ministry team were met. And because they had done that, and because God had brought him to a place of having no lack, no insufficiency, no shortage, he says to them in Philippians, the fourth chapter, and verse 19, "And my God, the same God who brought me to this place of no lack, the same God who supplied all my need, the same God who took me through the shortage and brought me to abundance, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." He said, the same thing he's done for me, he will do for you. Amen. And two things I want you to point out there. I want to point out, he says he shall supply. Okay. And my God shall supply. Shall supply. Supply means that he's already that is already provided for you. Supply. He supplies out of what he's already provided. Say that. Say, God supplies out of what he's already provided. So the Bible says he's already given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness. And so he already has everything we need in the storehouse. The Bible says that he's already given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. So he already has it, and it's going to show up when we need it. Amen. An example I often use about that is that when my children, before they went to college, I had college plans prepared for them. They didn't get the money yet because they wasn't in college yet. Amen. But when they got to college, what I laid up for them was now dispersed to them and dispersed on their behalf semester by semester. They didn't see it. All they know is that as I go, it's going to be there. Amen. That's how God supplies your need. And then he says all of your need. And notice he didn't say needs. It says need. I believe need is a condition or a state of life. And God wants to supply all your need. Everything you need is God has looked at it as need. And I want to eliminate need in your life. Amen. Need supposed to be a thing of your past, because once you come into the kingdom of God and you live according to his principles and you live according to the word of God, there's no shortage. God supplies everything that you need and eliminates all need in your life. Amen. Let's move on this week as we go further into this, talking about God being our supplier. So we got to overcome shortage mentality with what we've been talking about, overcoming shortage mentality. I want you to know that if you live by the word, tithing, sowing, saving, and then spending, that's the financial principles. There's other aspects as well, but especially regarding the area of your finances. Living by the word, tithing, sowing, saving, then spending. And I put it in that order. Tithing, sowing, tithing. That's one dime out of every dollar. That's where we start. Tithing, sowing, that's all you do above and beyond that. So you don't have to write out your tithe to the penny, $9.98. If you write it out to $10, the $2, the 2 cents over is considered sowing. Look to your neighbor, say, it's all right. Okay, and it makes a whole lot of things easier for our trustees who count the money and all that without y'all doing all this 2289, 10335. Just round the thing off. Just round it up. It's all right. Okay? Round it up and it's considered an offering. So we tithe, we sow, then we save. Everybody say save. But we're going to be talking about these things because this saving aspect is a part that many Christians, we just don't do. And it's I keep telling y'all that that faith and lack of wisdom is a bad combination. And so people do things that's just not wise, and then they try to use their faith to get them out of it. Okay? When God called you into the kingdom of God, he didn't tell you to leave your mind in the world. You know, you can be saved and think. You can be saved and be smart. Did y'all know that? Yeah, they're supposed to go together. Jesus Christ has been made wisdom unto us. And so part of that wisdom is saving. So we tithe, we save, and then we spend in that order. And when I say that, what that means is that as much as you may want things and desire things, and nothing wrong with having things, God, the Bible says he gives us all good things to enjoy. You know, God wants to bless us in all things. You know, we can name things, what things soever you desire. When you pray, believe you see them, you shall have them. So nothing wrong with having things, but God wants us to have our priorities in order. Amen. Because if you can't tithe, then you don't need luboos. For those of you who don't know what lubus is, don't even worry about it. Don't even go look it up. Don't even ask nobody. Because obviously it's not time yet. Okay? And nobody, no woman needs lubus. Okay? Don't even worry about it. Some say, what are they? Don't even worry about it. It's something you don't need. Okay? Okay, how about Louis Vuitton? You don't need Louis Vuitton. You desire. But you can't live without it. A Walmart purse will do. Now, there's nothing wrong with having it. Okay? My wife got all kinds of bags. Most of them she ain't paid a dime for. Most of them I bought them for. You know, see, my wife, she don't spend her money on herself much. She don't. She just... You know, she'll say stuff like, I'm going to break down and buy myself. What's all this breaking down? What? She got to break down, dude, because that's something I usually would do, you know. But so there's nothing wrong. But all I'm talking about is in the order of priority. I'm saying if you watch this, no sense of having $1,000 purse if you can't ever put your hands on $1,000 to sew. Okay. See, you can't go around weighing all your money. And driving all your money. Okay? That makes no sense. And so it's a matter of priorities. Nothing wrong with stuff. It's just a matter of priorities and timing. Amen? So if we live by the word, tithing, sowing, saving, then spending, you can get dominion over shortage and come into abundance. It's the will of God for you to get dominion over shortage and come to abundance. Look at Ephesians 6. Okay, let's break this down in the next 15, 20 minutes I have. Ephesians 6, 17. And above all, taking the shield of faith. Above everything, you need faith. Amen. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Okay? Above everything, above all, taking the shield of faith. Dr. Price used to teach a message one time about what's more important, faith or love. People were debating about faith or love. The truth is, you know what I found out, y'all? Some folks, you got to love by faith. You know you don't love them in the natural. I just believe I love you. I'm going to pray to God to help me love you. See, so it sounds like you need some faith even before, because your love ain't going to work. All right. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, see, when I read the word, I read what it says. And I learned this principle from my uncle, Bishop Bailey, that the Bible is not a book of a lot of detail. So whatever detail is there is important. So when I look at this, it tells me if I take the shield of faith, it says that I shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Quench. Quench means to put it out, right? Okay? If you are thirsty, you get some water, some juice, some Kool-Aid in y'all's case, okay? Gatorade, whatever. To what? Quench your thirst. To quench your thirst means you have a thirst. But quench means it makes it go away. It takes away the effects of the thirst. Are y'all with me here? He says that the shield of faith will cause you to quench all the fiery darts of. So there it is possible that some darts going to hit you. Oh, y'all didn't like that. Y'all see? Is it possible that the fiery darts some darts going to get through. But through your faith, you can quench the fiery dart. That what got through, what did not prosper. And what it was intended to do. Come on now. Superman used to get hit by the bullets, but it didn't kill him. It got through, but it wasn't effective against him. So the Bible says things like this. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Shall what? Prosper. Now, in the same context, in Isaiah, around the same chapter, God says, I'm going to send my word, and my word shall prosper in the thing that is sent to do. Prosper means it's carried out its effectiveness and succeeds in what I sent it to do. Glory to God. He said, but the weapons that the devil will form against you will not prosper, succeed in what it was intended to do. If you use the shield of faith. Come on now. So what the devil meant for evil, the evil's not accomplished in your life. Some kind of way it's intercepted. And I want y'all to see that because, see, I didn't always hear people teach this stuff. Because when I first heard about word of faith, I mean, they just made us think that if you just believe God, stuff won't happen. Nothing going to happen. But I done lived about 30 more years since I got hold of this word of faith. And I found out that you can get hit with the same stuff. Your marriage can get hit with the same stuff. Your church can get hit with the same stuff. Amen. Your body can get hit with the same stuff. But if you got the shield of faith, glory to God, I'm able to quench it. I'm able to put out the effects of it and make the devil scratch his head and make him go back and try to come up with another weapon because that one didn't work. And the Bible talks in the book of Matthew, it talks about the hearers of the word versus doers of the word, right? He said one was hearing the word, one was doing the word. The hearers, they heard the word. And he likened the person who just to hear the word, who the person who builds his house on what? On sand. And the one who was doing the word, he likens him to a man who built his house what? On the rock. And the winds came and the waves came and the waters came and the winds blew. And the one who was just hearing the word, not doing the word, great was the fall of it. The other one who was doing the word, the same storm came. The same wind came. The same water came. But the house was still standing. Glory to God. You may have to go through the same thing somebody else goes through who was not doing the word. But here's the good news. You're going to come out. It'll knock them down and you'll still be standing. So the weapon does not prosper. And so when we use the shield of faith, we're able to quench, cause the weapons of mass destruction that the devil wants to send against you not to prosper, not to be effective. So you have to use your faith against all the fiery darts. He said, and the helmet of salvation. And then I want you to see here where I'm going to spend the rest of the time I have tonight. And the sword of the spirit, which is what? The word of God. The sword of the spirit, which is what? So the word of God is the sword of the spirit. The sword of the spirit is the. So when we see sword in the word as New Testament believers, we see the sword as using the word of God. As a matter of fact, one scripture says that the word of God is even sharper and more powerful than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder even the soul and the spirit, the joint and the marrow of the bone. So the sword of the spirit we're talking about is the word of God. All right. With that understanding, let's back up and go to Genesis. Genesis 27. Now, in the context of Genesis 27, we know that Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. They were twins, but Jacob was the younger and Esau was the oldest. And if you study the scripture, even they were twins. And as they were Esau was battling to come out the womb before him. It's in the scripture. He said he was battling trying to get out first in the womb. Okay, some people just always trying to get over on somebody. I mean, he was born like that, and so since he wasn't firstborn, there was a blessing, the birthright of the firstborn, and he tricked his father to get his brother's blessing, right? And so I can see that he threw his voice. He made himself seem hairy like Esau. And he goes and his mother was on his side and she was in cahoots with him. Because, you know, some of these girls ain't loyal. OK. And she helped him. And he goes in and he steals his father, the father's blessing that was supposed to go to Jacob. And so then by the time he comes to his father, he says, Father, he says, well, I already gave the blessing to you. He said, well, that wasn't me. He said, well, let's pick up here in Genesis 27 and verse 39. And Isaac, his father, answered and said unto him, behold, he cries, God, don't you have a blessing to me? He says, all I can tell you is this. Your brother has, I've pronounced it on him, and he's going to be blessed. Let me stop right there for a moment. He said, I've already spoken it, and he's going to be blessed. I've spoken it, and he's going to be blessed. I can't take it back. This is a man saying this. I've spoken it, and he's going to be blessed. Can't take it back. If you understand, if Isaac can declare something and he's going to be blessed, how much more if God calls you blessed, you're not blessed? My word will accomplish anything wherefore I sent it. And so Isaac says to his father, his father answers and said to him, behold, this is what I can tell you. Your dwelling is going to be in the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shall thou live. By the what?
Sword.
Live by the sword. What's the sword for us?
Word.
The word of God. And by thy sword shall thou live, and thou shalt serve thy brother. But it shall come to pass, and it shall come to pass. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad it didn't come to stay. Whoo, glory to God. I'm so glad trouble don't last always. It shall come to pass. This may be how it is right now, but it came to pass. I'm here to let you know. Glory to God. You may be in a low place now, but it came to pass. You may be in a depressed state now, but it came to pass. You may be in a broke state now, but it came to pass. Glory to God. And it shall come to pass that when thou shalt have dominion. I love this because he says, when thou shalt have dominion. Not if you have dominion, when you have dominion. That you shall break his yoke, your brother's yoke, from off thy neck. He said, now he's starting off with a greater blessing than you. He's starting off at a higher place than you. He's starting off, the truth of the matter is, he's the head and you the tail. He's above, you're beneath. He's a lender, you're the borrower. That's how you're starting off. But it shall come to pass. Man, I'm getting excited all by myself. But it's going to come to pass. If you live by the sword, you can break that thing. Hallelujah. Now look at this. Now his father told him how to reverse this thing. And verse 41, and Esau hated Jacob because the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his what? In his heart. Out of the heart comes murder and deceitful things. He said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father at hand. He said, my father about to die. And after we get finished his funeral and everything, it's on. The days of my father mourning are at hand. Then I will slay my brother Jacob. Now, father just told him how he can get dominion. But he's saying, If the last thing I do after my father dead, I'm going to kill him. Yes, sir. Oh, you know, we should do this thing. See my pinky, see my thumb. See my fish, you better run. Oh, y'all remember that? That was, you know, I was a kid. See my pinky, see my thumb, see my fish, you better run. That's what he said to his brother. I'm going to get you. Yes, sir. And watch this. But his father told him how to get dominion. See, you can go around mad about your situation, or you can get dominion over your situation. You can go around talking about your father loves your brother more than you, and your mother loved your sister more than you, and nobody ever gave you a break, and it looked like the harder you try, the behinder you get, and you take one step forward and three steps back. You can go around talking like that, or you can get dominion by living by the sword. So Jacob takes off running. It's a minimum, I'm estimating, conservatively estimating. It's a minimum of 20 years before he sees his brother again. He takes off running. He goes away. Remember, he works. He falls in love with who? Rachel, right? How we get a message? Rachel, Rebecca. He falls in love with Rachel and father said, okay, you got to work 7 years for her. But then when he went to marry her, the next morning after the honeymoon, when the lights came back on and the sun began to rise, he saw it wasn't Rachel. Now, ladies, I always have to stress this point to you. During the night, everything was all right. See, y'all, you got to get. He didn't know it wasn't her till the morning. All through the night, he was like, Rachel, Rachel, Rachel. Oh, Rachel. Oh, Rachel. Yes, Rachel! All through the night, but he didn't know till the morning. And my point of that, of you ladies understanding that just because a man is physically intimate with you, don't mean he wants you. He didn't know till the next morning. The next morning, he realized it wasn't her. And he realized that ain't the one he want, even though he wasn't complaining the night before. He never, gotta make this plain. He never complained and said, you don't feel like Rachel. He never complained. 7 years. So then he goes, man, you tricked me. He said, yeah, well, I'm sorry. I should have told you. Our rules are, you know, you can't, the young one can't get married for the older one. So you get the old ugly one. I mean, the older one, she got to get married first. And so he said, what do I got to do? He said, well, you got to work another 7 years for her. Worked 7 years. So he waited 14 years. Some people say, really, if you look at it, he said, some people say he got her instantly, but he still had to work for her. So either way, he was willing to work for this woman for a total for 14 years. Some of y'all can't get a brother wait 14 minutes. Somebody said to me recently, I don't know if you're here, I'm just a good example. She said, well, they were concerned. They said, some people complain I talk about God too much. He get turned off. I said, if he turned off because you talk about God too much, then he need to be turned off. Now, I ain't talking about you going out there on a date quickening and carrying on.
I think I'm gonna have a Caesar salad. Caesar salad. Okay, Baba.
Now see, you can't be doing all that. You ain't gonna go on nobody's date. I only think Jesus won't date you. Works for 14 years. Gets her. Now he had, and the reason why I'm saying conservative, so at least 14 years. By the time he sees his brother again, he got several children from Leah. Several children. So the word gets out, hey, your brother Esau is approaching. He said, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Because last thing he heard, he knew his brother was trying to kill him. So he got Leah, the wife he never wanted anyway. Said, you go out first. He got all her children. You got to read the word. You know, the ones he figured, you can kill them if you want. You can have them, take them as slaves. Take them. Sends them first, and then he lines them up based upon his priority. Keeps her closer to him, his second wife. Okay? He keeps her closer to him. And so he goes out to go meet his brother. And when he goes to meet his brother, he sends all them out first. And let's pick up here from Genesis 33. Esau sees him, and Esau says, Genesis 33, verse 8. And he said, what meanest thou by all this drove which I met? Who's all these people? What's all this? What's all this? And he said, these are to find grace in thy sight, my Lord. Lord means one who has dominion, one who has rule. Don't God know how to turn the tables?
There may be times when it seems that you just don't have enough for your financial obligations. Could it be that you do have the finances, but you may be afraid that you won't have anything left? Dr. Herbert Bailey helps you to examine your thoughts to overcome shortage mentality in this four-part series. Order today for your love gift of $20 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE. or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Overcoming Shortage Mentality.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.